The U.S. and Europe sit down to talk about selling more stuff to each other. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio via the BBC in London this week with the Marketplace Midday Update. While the U.S. and its European allies debate how to respond to the crisis in Ukraine, the U.S. and the EU are also trying to hammer out a new trade deal. The preliminary round of negotiations for the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership wrap up in Arlington, Virginia today. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership could reduce tariffs, translating into lower prices for consumers. Fran Burwell with the advocacy group The Atlantic Council has studied the potential economic impact for the U.S.
Every state gains in terms of its exports to the EU. There will be about 740,000 new jobs created in the United States over 10 years.
She says the auto industry in particular could see a big jump in sales. On the downside, environmentalists caution that the deal could undermine more than tariffs. Michelle Chan directs economic policy at Friends of the Earth.
This transatlantic trade deal will really focus on deregulation, with the idea being that environmental and public health protections themselves can be construed as barriers to trade.
A final trade deal is still years away, though it could be affected by elections in Europe this weekend. Those elected leaders will have to sign off on any trade deal before it becomes law. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Now let's check markets. And this is what the last open outcry financial market in Europe sounds like, the London Metal Exchange, where the price gets worked out for copper, aluminum, zinc, most things except the precious metals like gold. It is not algorithms at work here, but frenzied humans in sharp business suits holding three phones at a time, barking prices and throwing hand signals.
What we have is a system, an old-fashioned system, where you have phones in booths. People on the phones have telephone direct lines to either customers or their own firm's offices. They receive an order, they give it to a clerk, the clerk runs to the ring, gives it to the dealer sitting in the ring. He then literally shouts the price across the ring and trades accordingly. And this is called open outcry.
Stefano D'Andrea is senior dealer in the ring with INTL FC Stone on the metal exchange. Now, if you have a factory that makes, say, highway guardrails, but you don't need your aluminum till, say, September, these folks work out the appropriate price for the future.
The advantages of an open outcry market, first and foremost, are that of transparency. You can see all of the traders in the ring. There are DVD recordings and audio recordings. Everyone can see what's happening, and it's very clear and public and transparent. So that's a big positive.
The London Metal Exchange, the last vestige in Europe of non-silicon-based financial trading. Now, don't confuse this with some other headlines in the news today. That British regulators have fined Barclays Bank $43 million for failure related to how the price of gold is fixed in London. A Barclays trader has been banned for life. The talk here this morning is how the alleged manipulation of the gold occurred the day after Barclays paid a massive fine for its role messing with the price of a crucial interest rate known as LIBOR. Again, today's gold-fixing punishments involve a completely separate outfit, not the metals exchange we're at. This week, we've been focusing on two broad themes, minding the gap between rich and poor here in London and the metropolis here as a financial capital. By one formulation from PricewaterhouseCoopers, London has jumped past Singapore and New York to become the heart of the global economy. And one way it's trying to live up to that hype is by being very, very open to capital from diverse sources. The BBC's Andrew Walker joins us. Andrew, good to see you.
And you, David.
The City of London, the financial district, is quite well attracting Russian business, but I see over the last year the British Prime Minister wants Chinese business and Chinese money to come through here. Does he stand a chance?
Absolutely. I mean, the Chinese are very keen to gradually integrate their financial system into the global economy. And clearly, London is going to have a role in that. It'll be a long time before they are really major players, but it'll come one day.
I saw the Prime Minister said on a trip some months ago to China, he told an audience in Shanghai that Britain and China had, quote, deeply complementary economies, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly true that they are complementary in the sense that simply by virtue of being at different stages of development. China is very successful in supplying relatively low-cost manufactured goods. The UK, relatively successful in exporting high-cost, high-technology goods and especially services. And when Mr. Cameron was in China, he did make some progress in signing deals on, for example, selling some cabin crew training software.
So a campaign to attract Chinese business. And then there's Islamic finance. Britain wants to become a pioneer, it sounds like, by offering a government bond structured in a way, what, so the people who abide by Islamic rules of finance can partake?
That's the idea. And they are actually aiming to issue a government bond. Interest is prohibited in Islam. So these bonds are designed in such a way that the return on them is sold as sharing profits or sharing the rent on some underlying asset that is owned. There is a very large growing market for these kind of financial instruments. There's no question, I think, it's going to be an increasingly important part of the global financial system.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you.
And my pleasure, David.
And there's news this week that workers for the borough of Ipswich, England, have been ordered to disclose to the boss if any of them are romantically and or sexually involved with co-workers. The rule's pretty strict. Not just long-term, but short-term flings are to be reported. Outside contractors, too. The concern is said to be conflicts of interest. Both management and the union support the updated policy, and there are fervent promises of confidentiality. Special thanks to our hosts this week, the BBC, especially the World Service Business Unit here in London. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.